Insight have projected that the domestic fuel price cap could rise by more than £300 a year from July, while the RAC says average petrol prices are now about 9% higher since the conflict began. Diesel has jumped by about 17%. Well, let's bring in Paul Deleu, who's director of Robert Gordon University's Energy Transition Institute. Paul, thanks for being with us this evening. What do you make of these sort of doom and gloom predictions?
Yeah, it's not good. We're 3 weeks into the war, and the picture doesn't look great. We see huge reduction in availability of oil, huge reduction in global availability of liquefied natural gas, highly volatile prices, and now, of course, the conflict, there's no end in sight. So you can see that now turning into the markets, massive volatility in prices, as you already outlined in your introduction, and it really starts affecting everybody around the world. So high prices on the forecourts, we see it in our utility bills. We see now prices coming in the shops, but also in the next couple of weeks, of course, we take a huge amount of volume out. Availability of oil and gas will not be as what we used to.
Yeah, I'm interested in this, the attack on the world's largest gas field in Iran. Am I not right in thinking, though, that gas field supplies more or less just Iran? It doesn't. They don't export much to the rest of the world. So I wonder why that affects prices so much.
The gas field is huge, and that's why I think it is relevant for Iran, for Qatar, but also for the world. Most of the electricity generated in Iran is fueled by the gas from that gas field, but also it's the backbone of the Qatari economy. And of course, if that field doesn't produce, has a massive impact on Qatar. But also for the world, that gas field is providing roughly one-fifth of all the liquefied natural gas in the world. So just by that attack, that uncertainty in the market, it has a massive impact on all the countries involved, and the ripple effects around the world is what we're now feeling in the kind of increased prices we see around here.
Yeah, because that's bad news for us, because we want to import around about 70% of our gas supplies.
Yeah, so for Europe, I mean, a lot of the gas is not necessarily all coming from Qatar. It's a relatively modest, just 5-7% of Europe. It's less than 2% for the UK. But of course, it's an international market and all the prices are linked. So whatever happens in one part of the world, because of global pricing, we feel it directly as businesses and consumers here in the UK.
That's the gas prices, and we know, of course, that impacts how much we pay for our electricity. In terms of oil, it's sitting around about the $100 a barrel. It goes up and down, of course, every day. Are you expecting this to go a lot higher?
Yeah, it depends what happens. So the first couple of weeks of the war, it was all about shutting things down, delaying production, stopping the production from the refineries, stopping production from the oil and gas fields, stopping the kind of flow of tankers to the Strait of Hormuz. In the last couple of days, it's fundamentally changed. We see now attacks on infrastructure. And the moment you start destructing infrastructure, it will take a long time to bring it back on stream. So what could happen if it keeps on escalating? We're going to have this problem for a long time to come, because it doesn't take weeks or months to fix the infrastructure. It takes a lot longer. And that will provide a huge amount of volatility in the oil markets. So it is really, it all depends on what's going to play out, how much more destruction we're going to see, and how long it's going to take. If we see a worst case scenario, yeah, we can see prices increasing. But I think the whole world is trying to push to a better solution, open up the Strait of Hormuz and get at least a product to flow to kind of keep the world economy going.
How much stores of oil do we keep in the UK?
So it's the International Energy Agency who regulates this is asking each country to have around 90 days of storage, but it varies by country. So UK has also, of course, strategic storage, but some is in the oil and gas reservoirs in the North Sea. Some sits in storage tanks, some sits in tankers.
So there's no shortage at the moment. I'm just wondering why oil and gas at the moment, or while petrol and diesel at the moment are going up so much when there are no shortages just now.
It is international market, so because a lot of the oil and gas coming out of the Strait of Hormuz goes to the Far East, India, China, South Korea, Pakistan, not much comes to the UK, but not every country has storage. So you see actually a real demand happening, and there's already kind of restrictions in supply in countries in the Far East. It takes a certain amount of time for these tankers to get from the Strait of Hormuz to Far East or to the UK. So a tanker that left 2 or 3 weeks ago will probably arrive this week here in Europe or in Japan. So of course, these tankers are not going anymore. So we see the impact of reduced demand going to happen really in the next couple of weeks. And that will have an impact on what is available and how we're going to react to that.
Paul, thank you for being with us this evening. We appreciate it. Paul Deleu there from Robert Gordon University's Energy Transition Institute. Now we are